I own it.
You own it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Writing on Whidbey Island. I am here today, of course, with co-founder, co-host, Tom Trimbeth. Usually he says hello, but I think he's lips deep in a cup of tea right now. I heard that.
Hello, how are you doing?
There we go. Anyway, today it is a lovely Saturday winter day, and we're not freezing too bad, but it's very nice to be in the Commons, which is a rather interesting little coffee shop that sells books and, interestingly enough, coffee. And Tom, you actually know about this place better than I do. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's a nonprofit that helps train kids in the restaurant business?
Well, basically, yeah, it's their first job.
Oh.
So when you really get that, well, a lot of times it's their first job. And it's, you know, here's an opportunity for them to learn how to have a job and how to serve and how to, you know, show up on time and all that kind of stuff and learn how to make coffee. Which also means that sometimes if you're ordering here, patience is a fine idea. Healthy tips are really appreciated.
Sure.
But it's also within Langley in Whidbey Island. It's one of the places that's kind of known for a lot of the clientele that hangs out here is either as young as the baristas or is running the nonprofits that are helping fund organizations like this. So it makes an interesting environment.
Sure.
Besides, they have the used books and the new books, and authors can see what their new books are going for, and they can see how often the used versions are being bought.
Right.
Actually, but I think the used versions isn't as common anymore. I think it's mostly new books out there.
Oh, well, are you going to check your editions
while
you're
here? Of course, that's what I'll be doing on the way
out. All right. Well, we are here today. We are doing another interview, and this is one that I know myself, and I'm sure Tom, too, has been very excited to do. We're here with our author friend, PJ Bevins, and she has a rather interesting program she's put together, a number of books. It's three books, okay. I did my research somewhat, which is usually how I do these shows, but that's okay. We both actually just saw her presentation at the Langley Library where she was talking about her books, and it's a very interesting approach to health, both between exercise and diet. And a lot of what this comes from is her background as a zookeeper, where she saw the need to shift taking care of the animals by doing a better job of taking care of oneself as the various zookeepers there. And she developed her own program that made fitness fun and an enriching game. She connected healthy habits to conservation.
He wrote it down.
I wrote it down, yeah. I don't actually remember stuff this well. And what she likes to do within her suggestions is that one will have their best impact on the world by making changes within their own life. And I've now seen two of her presentations, and I have to say, she is a fun presenter. She is very engaging, and myself, where I don't remember all of this stuff, it's because my brain's pretty engaged all the time, and I had pretty much my jaw on the floor with the first presentation because I really went there almost, I had these weird expectations. I don't know where they came from, but I'll own them. I went there thinking that I was going to show up to a meeting room in the library that was cleared out, and there was going to be a bunch of yoga mats, and PJ was going to lead us through exercises based on, like, how sloths move and orangutans move and stuff
burpees.
Like this. Burpees, right? Yeah. And there was none of that, actually. She ended up doing a really great presentation, great speech, and then made some food, and we ate it and enjoyed it. and there was no yoga mats, and I'm rather glad and thankful for that. anyway, well... Tell us more.
Well,
engage my brain again. That was the really fantastic thing that I was just forgetting I was trying to get to. My jaw was on the floor because you had me thinking about so many things.
It sounds like you threw him down. His jaw hit the
floor. Could.
Well, thank you, Dawn. That's actually a pretty good, fairly good description.
Thank you.
I was a zookeeper for 15 years before I started what I ended up calling, and the current name of it is ZooFit. And I call it ZooFit because it's based off the principles of zookeeping, and not just making fitness fun, but making it a positive experience. We have a really negative mindset when it comes to fitness. I have to do this. Working out is a chore. We look at diets as something short-term and something that is almost like a punishment for not doing what we feel like we need to do. And I looked at it as this is a... Taking care of myself is a gift. Being able to take care of my animals is a gift. And so it's reinforcing to me, and it's a positive experience, everything I do. So moving that mind shift to positive and empowering was a big part of it. But as you said, conservation was key for me. And that's one of the things that I became early on very clear that this was something that no one else was thinking of, much less doing, and how it could not just be effective, but it could change the world.
I just like the way you described it to me earlier on, which was, gee, we zookeepers are taking great care of these animals because we've got these great exercises and how to motivate them and whatnot. Why aren't we doing that with the humans?
Right.
That could be an interesting attraction at the zoo.
I mean, the sloths have figured it out, but the other zookeepers.
We are animals, and the other thing about that is that, again, we use positive reinforcement with the animals. We break down behaviors into small, achievable steps for the animals. We make learning fun for the animals. And the reason the animals are there is for conservation. And so, again, the whole idea is we're doing all this for the animals. So we're an animal. Why aren't we doing this for ourselves?
So at this point, how many books have you produced based on this?
So far, just the three. So I'm a gently used author.
Too bad PJ wasn't more humble in the interview. Just the three.
We'll but I have probably in my back of my mind, and I've got two in the works for this year already that are, again, centered around this idea. And then and probably if you ask me, like, how many books do I want to write, I have probably another six, seven.
How many?
Just on this.
The podcast
this
isn't
program.
That long.
Yeah, PJ, how many are bouncing around in your head? Tom, how many are bouncing around in your head? Come
on. So, so what are your three books?
My three books I have right
and
now.
Where do people find them?
I don't know where.
Dark but, alleys.
Yeah, you can hunt me down. I thought, if I haven't given you one already.
Just hang out in Western Washington and wait for her to drive by.
First one that I love it a lot. It's the exercise guide, the ZooFit exercise guide. And that is a basic exercise guide. I have, I don't know, 100 or so exercises that I describe and have, again, written demonstration. And then in the back of the second half of it is all the workouts I have. And those are interesting for me because I call them conservation hero workouts. So they're all named after conservation heroes such as Steve Irwin, Diane Fossey, Jacques Cousteau. So conservation heroes for me and for the zoo world, and they're using those exercises and again fun, engaging game, engaging way to work out. And the second one is also again very much centered around this idea. It's called reduce, recycle, reduce your waste, and the waste is spelled as in your circumference, not just the trash. And so it's a play on words. And it's a do-it-yourself book of making your own workout equipment.
Oh, and yes. Duct tape rules.
Yes. Duct tape does rule. So, and I got inspired by being a zookeeper. When you're a zookeeper, you have to be super resourceful when you're working with the animals. And you get very creative. I call it the MacGyver mentality. So, though this bowl would make an excellent enrichment, this toilet paper roll make excellent enrichment for the animals. So,
and not like you're talking enrichment in terms of you want them to eat it. It's
yeah, it's a toy. Enrichment is a fancy word for toy in the zoo world. So, yeah, this would make an excellent toy for the animals, and that became kind of my philosophy when I got into fitness. Like, I can't throw this away. I refuse to. This will make an excellent workout piece of equipment. So duct tape and sand are like the two things I use the most.
And t-shirts.
And t-shirts. So there's
That's two.
And then my latest book that I was talking about today at the library.
So basically, if you're on the coast or you live in Arizona, you can make a lot of enrichment.
Yes. And then today's talk was on my 5-week challenge called the Zoo Fit Safari, and I do call it a 5-week challenge, but it's more of an adventure, it's more of a journey, and again, to help people empower themselves for what works for them. And again, as a fitness instructor, I get asked what diet's best for me, what exercise should I do, what healthy habit should I focus on, and this book helps you decide what is good for you, because the answer is the one that you can do, the one that you can sustain for life.
So then you've also got a YouTube channel.
Yes.
A blog.
Yes.
You've been going on the road and doing the presentations. I mean, there are most authors that don't get around to putting this much effort into something, because you started doing this how many years ago? When did you first start writing?
Technically only five
right.
years ago. Yeah.
I mean, most folks are still working on their first book at this point.
You got enough authors, too, that they'll write their book. It'll be on Amazon. They'll establish a Facebook page or Twitter or whatever, right? Last post, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, they're reticent, and it's kind of this thing of, oh, you know, I don't like doing marketing. It takes away the focus. Oh, I don't like doing marketing because I'm not a people person or whatever. And the fact that you're doing this much, that's a lot of energy. That's really great.
Yeah, it's impressive what you've been doing.
I'm also an introvert.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, hi, me too. But see, and that's a great topic that I like to talk about within writing, and when Tom and I have done the presentations on self-publishing, is we get these people that say, oh, I don't like to do the promotion, I'm an introvert, whatever. Hey, so am I, right? Being an extrovert, it's going to be a part of you. You're not going to be a 100% introvert, right? So that extrovert part, you can exercise, you can strengthen like a muscle, you can develop. And it does take some thought. It does take, not necessarily coaching in my experience, but it does take a few ideas put to you and ultimately going out and practicing. And, I mean, I've started conversations with people over bananas at the grocery store just to exercise, doing that extrovert part of things. And ultimately, there's a lot of people that think I'm an extrovert. No. Okay. But I can look like one. And I also know I can look like one for a certain amount of time. And then I need to just back off and get into my own space and do my own thing. So, more power to you. I understand.
I just realized I'm the only person sitting at the table that hasn't written a cookbook.
Yep.
I'll get to work.
Well, Tom,
now I can coach you.
The idea of being an introvert, I've found through doing that research, because I score on the introvert scale.
Oh, you actually got tested.
Yeah, I score 100% of the time on the introvert scale, and it's not because I'm shy. I'm definitely, that is not a word that people use to describe me. It's because I get my energy from being alone. Yeah. So I am expending a lot of energy by doing this,
sure.
Mental energy. And when I come home from these talks, I have to sleep for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it. I mean, again, as I said to to Vicky at the library, if I change one person's life by doing these talks or by writing these books, then I feel I've made a contribution, and that it's been worth the while. So,
and by the way, a shout out for the local library system, which is the Snow Isle Library System. It's not SNOW, it's a Snohomish Yeah. Island County, so right. Snow Isle.
It's,
but
it's
they've been
two,
wonderfully supportive for
two counties writers. Put together, and we actually, for being in a rural area, we actually have an amazing library system with amazing resources and amazing programs. I got blown away when I moved full-time to the island because a lot of what I was used to was, oh, we have this program, and it's sleepy. And nobody would go to these things, but then I go, you know, I move to the island, I start going to these programs. In fact, the first one I went to was yours, Tom, on self-publishing. and then now we're here. I won't say I haven't seen a single program that was not great, but most of them have really been phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've lived in Seattle, Portland, Bellingham now, and Whidbey. And I have to say, hands down, personally, this is, again, being Whidbey Island also, the Snow Isles Library is head above my favorite system.
Wow.
And again, from Seattle, Portland area, the Snow Isles Library are, that's a thumbs up sign here.
And that's an interesting thing because, you know, the places you just rattled off are all book towns.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I know that I'd have a... Interesting is...
Portland, especially with Powell.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten to go there yet, but as a nerdy, geeky, you know, person...
It's a pilgrimage.
Yeah, it's a pilgrimage, and I'm, like, the fan of this place that I haven't even gotten to go to yet, but just the same, it's like I'm always ready to do world travel. I've got my peg packed to go and camp out at Powell Books because I understand it's so big. You should do the North Face on one day and go around, but bring a tent, bring food, you know, your Coleman stove, whatever. But no, I've heard about it, and I already planned. The first time I go there, I want the Powell, bookstore fan T-shirt. Yeah.
So now that you've written so much, and I mean, because you're producing YouTube videos every day, and or at least publishing them every day, and things like that. I mean, has it all been working for you the way you want it to? Is there something you want to do different? Because I mean, 5 years ago you didn't know what you were.
5 years ago, when I met you two, and. I think our first one was not self-publishing, it was media. And since then, I get a little bit better every single time I do something like these talks at the library or do a podcast when I'm doing a YouTube video. And unfortunately, every time I do seem to catch on to something that works well with me, the platforms change. We don't look at YouTube videos anymore. We went back to blogs. And
nobody told me.
And so
now you know.
Trying to play catch up can be really frustrating and really hard. But if I keep that mentality of, again, changing one person's life I think now once a week I'm getting a comment on my video like, this is really good stuff, you've got a follower, and I'm like, wow, I don't know who you are either, that's really amazing. Did my mom send you?
Yeah, really. Those are the ones that matter most, right? But that's pretty impressive because most folks don't get comments until they have hundreds of followers, which you'll probably
have 10. 11.
11.
Yeah, what is WoW we have at this point?
We're not counting. It'd take too
long.
It'd take too
little
time. But then again, the other thing comes around to these things. You come back a year or two later and you find out that there's a lot more folks all of a sudden listening. They're coming back to listen to the old stuff and things like that. So they may be going, what? Because who knows how many digits you're into it at that point.
Yeah, and all these things stemming from the idea of marketing, which is what I've been writing has just been to help support my big idea of what I'd like to do, which is a kind of a hybrid memoir self-help book. So talking about my adventures, my stories, those personal, touching, and hilarious stories of me working with the animals and the lessons they taught me, which helped develop ZooFit. And I'd love to have that one traditionally published.
Mm-hmm.
And again, building that platform, building that marketing. Each time I do a talk, each time I post a video each time I post on Facebook or Twitter, I may reach one more person. And
sure.
So that's what, and again, lessons to all the writers out there, that's what that's what the publishers and agents want. They want you to write the book and be able to work. You don't necessarily, yes, they would like for you to have 50,000 followers that would buy anything that you spit out. But even if you don't, they want to know that you will do what it takes
right.
to make it work.
And the thing that's nice is you can actually demonstrate that for yourself. You don't have to wait for somebody
sure.
else's approval.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I read a posting on Twitter yesterday. No, it was during this past week, if you want to be accurate. But we can say yesterday, meaning this past week.
By the time this podcast comes out, who knows?
Right, yeah. And I don't even remember who the person was. But basically, they ended up saying they got a rejection letter that was kind of nice because they said, we really love your book, but we're turning it down because you don't have enough of a social media following at this point. So on one hand, I kind of look at it and say, okay, well, there's traditional publishing, you know, three of us being self-published. There's the traditional publishing industry turning around and saying, hey, you, the author, we want you to do all this work and we're going to take all the pay. And, well, wait a minute, that to me, when you're saying you don't have 50,000 followers, that to me is the traditional publishing industry turning around and saying, we want you to do more work. And we're still going to take all the pay for that. And I just responded to the guy. I was like, time to self-publish.
Yeah.
Get out of that. But, please.
Oh, there was one a writer that was at a writer's conference. And it's easy to get into these things and be naive and not know
mm-hmm.
what a number really means. And she said she kind of had a following, but she didn't know what to do with it because, you know, and she was also writing a cookbook of all things. There's a theme
weirdo
here.
Yeah.
But she goes, I got like 15,700 people following me on Facebook. And now, I wish there was a video because both of these folks, their eyes just bugged out.
Yeah, I'm busting my teeth to break 600, man.
She had no clue. She did not realize that that was something to really work with.
Correct.
And the issue was, at this point, you've got two major options. One is keep doing what you're doing, because what
right.
you're doing is doing.
And what are you doing?
And the other is to then go ahead and say, and then you go up to a publisher, and you say, look, this is what I've got going for me.
Sure.
What do you think about it?
Leverage it.
And let them sell themselves on buying you as a commodity, basically, because that's what they're really doing.
You, yeah.
They're hunting for a resource that they can pick up and they can recycle and repackage.
Right.
And that kind of a background was marvelous. I don't know what she did with it.
What did she do to get there?
Right, yeah.
Well, but it's the same sort of thing that,
yeah.
that all three of us are doing, but you never know where it's going to click in, which is to be out there, each one of us. So you on Twitter you are?
Oh, what am I on Twitter?
Or is it Earth
Zoofit?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, go to your cell phone.
Oh my god.
Well, I'm a number of places and people, but mostly on wibaking.com.
Wibaking.co
on Twitter.
I think I'm Earth. I think actually I'm Earth underscore Fit.
There we go.
I'll find
it. Because that was the original name of Zoofit.
And see, that's the thing, is it's, you know, we're all out there. We don't all have the exact same social media platforms and things like that. But that's the sort of thing she was doing. She was just, it's like when you say that you care more about whether or not somebody has got it.
Yes, at Earth underscore Fit.
On Twitter.
So, you know, and for her, her goal was to just tell folks what they could do with a particular ingredient. She was very narrow focused on that.
Nice.
But that was her intent. Your intent, you've said a number of times, but go ahead and feel free to say it again, but it isn't to make... You're not doing this to say, this is the way I'm going to make a lot of money. Though that wouldn't be bad.
It wouldn't be bad. No, I won't say no to it.
But your main goal seems to be...
Connect people to the earth in a healthy and positive way.
And that was the thing that I've seen has really worked true with some folks, is that they find that goal, and they find that target, and they concentrate on that.
An area of passion.
Right.
Right.
And folks start to resonate with that. Unfortunately, you never know when it's going to kick in.
Yeah.
There's that
if.
Yeah. But the fact is, at this point, you know, if somebody comes across and they want a series of videos, if they want to see how many different ways you can do a burpee
without crying.
Oh, no, even with crying, I think.
whatever, man.
And by the way, it's B-U-R-P-E-E.
E-E, yeah. So that's the name of a guy that created the exercise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Royal H. Burpee. That's his name.
That's
Royal
awesome.
H. Burpee.
Wow.
Such a
okay.
Goal.
when we do the follow-up blog on this, I'm going to link at least Wikipedia or something.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that I've seen work, is that folks that they just find that thing. And that's why I'm really curious to see how it's going to work out for you, because you're laying that foundation right now. You're working it hard.
Yes. But I as I mentioned in my talk earlier, you know, it's about having fun too. So, you know, you make it obvious to develop any of these habits, whether it's writing, whether it's, you know, self-publishing, getting to that habit, making it obvious, making it easy, but most of all, making it awesome. So creating a habit of doing these videos and doing social media and making it not become a part of my day. Like I suck in, you know, and start scrolling through Facebook or through Twitter. But, you know, again, getting to the point and honing in on what is important and doing it daily, but also making it fun for me. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing.
Which gets back to the whole philosophy you have behind the workout routines.
Yeah. Right.
And you still think burpees are fun.
Well, and I have a question on the writing topic. And part of it is you and I are able to relate on the experience of writing recipes, writing recipe books. Tom isn't. We'll get there. We still love him. He is working on a tea book.
Oh, you can do a total tea book.
No, I am. I'm actually working on a tea book.
Yes, do that.
He invited me, and I'm more the coffee
drinker. The recipes
drinker,
are way more straightforward.
Yeah.
Dead leaves, hot water, wait, drink.
Right. But actually, I should talk with you, because I do have some tea stuff that I want to do in an upcoming book, because there's the whole argument, do you get the water to the rolling boil or just the tiny bubbles?
And that gets into tiny bubbles. Which tea you're going to have.
Right. Anyway, on the writing topic there, something that I run into, and I see this a lot online more than anything, is I've connected with other authors. But when they turn around and start talking about writing, or they're given their little rah-rah postings online, and they say, hey, what's going on with your main character? I'm like, he's making biscotti and he doesn't exist, right? Or in my case, too, I also have a history book that is a work in progress. And they're like, what's going on with your main character? He's like, he's playing bagpipes on the D-Day beach, or whatever. But... you know, they're turning around and talking about, you know, what's going on with your thriller, what's going on with your romance, your sci-fi, your, you know, urban fantasy. They're just talking about creative writing. They're talking about creative lit constantly. And you turn around and you show up and you say, I wrote a cookbook. I'm writing a cookbook, whatever. And they're kind of like, oh, that's nice. And it seems to have this attitude of like, well, you just list the recipe and you publish it, so what?
Oh, God.
But then of course,
if only.
Right, if only. Then you turn around, because like in my recipe book, as you know, I gave U.S. standard measurements. I also did the metric measurements.
Yes, you did.
I did the calculations. I don't actually totally know if I did some things right, and it's because we need to teach metric more and or switch to it, but that's my own personal pitch.
Yep.
Oh, Tom thinks so too. Okay, this is a metric podcast here. We're at 100 seconds, and anyway, so I did this, but part of it too is when you start talking with these other authors and say, you know, it's not just a matter of here's the ingredients. You have to explain how to mix. You have to explain packing brown sugar. You have to explain these things. And at its core, a recipe book is technical writing.
Yes.
And in my mind, really, there's a certain element of technical writing, whether you're writing that romance thriller or a kid's book or a recipe book. What do you find that you had to do in the writing to express yourself that's just different than just writing? And also, what do you find within the writing community when you turn around and say, I've written an exercise book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it come out?
I'm writing a recipe or an exercise book.
Right. So I have a very, my writing style, it works really well for a blog, and I've kind of owned that, I feel, with my books. I don't apologize for, oh, this might not be your cup of tea or anything. I just, this is how my writing style, my essays are like this, my prose is like this. I write as I would write a blog. And so I find that writing a blog, doing the recipes in my blog, doing the workouts in my blog, has kind of helped create the idea of how to describe what I want my readers to do. So, for instance, if I'm describing a movement in my workout, you know, I can go over the, I can do the movement and then remember the steps, and then just write it how I would tell somebody exactly how to do it. So, the same thing with the recipes too. Is I kind of imagining, I make the recipe and I kind of put a mental note of like, hey, this is how I did it. Now, if I was talking to Don or Tom, I would.
I think it's or Tim.
Or Tim. That was earlier today. His twin brother Tom's here.
And my twin brother Dan.
Oh, Dan.
I try and tell people it's hard to pronounce Danald.
Danald. It's true. But if I was talking to you and just telling you, this is how you're going to make this recipe, mm-hmm. what would I say? And then I write it down. And so it becomes a little bit more conversational and a little bit more, again, as I would describe in a blog. So a blog is really fun, too, because you can kick on tangents as you're telling people how to do this. You can be like, oh, I like using couscous for this particular recipe because I like the way, you know, I like the easiness of preparing it, but you can use rice or quinoa or however, whatever soup, whatever food you vote. Sure. And then get down to, okay, now here's the recipe, here's the directions, and then you can close up however you want.
So the blog has been something that's been coming along after the books came out, right?
Well, it's evolved after the books came out, yes, definitely.
So do you think that because of what you've been blogging, that the next book is going to be different than the previous ones? Because,
oh, yes.
How so?
Well, first of all, my next couple books are a break away from, in the intense sense of things, that a break away from the conservation fitness that I do. It's more on the train positive aspect of it, so making it fun. So my next book that I'm currently really working on is Fandom Fitness.
We've been talking about this. And love this idea. We did a little conservation just to get to Patty. I'll edit that. PJ's. Yeah, but see, here's
as close as we get to an edit. So
here's the thing. I realized we have Tim, Dan, and your fraternal brother, JP.
JP.
Anyway. Okay, so 33 minutes.
As we try to keep confusing people.
So driving down here, I got a ride with you, and I had an absolute ball talking, and of course we ended up shifting into talking about some of your upcoming work here, and found out all the more that we both geek out on Firefly and Marvel and Star Trek, Star Wars, King Arthur, all of this stuff, I'll keep your secret that you haven't watched the Alien series yet, but I will also work on that with you.
I think that's
out. You're talking about trying to make sure you sleep well? Don't watch it.
Yes, but it's so important to cinema. Anywho.
Well, cinema can go watch cinema.
So
it was very well done because it had such an effect on me that I we'll never watch it again.
Anyway, wherever I was going with that, tell us about your upcoming work here with the Fan Fit, which I was mistakenly calling, which was a Geek Fit and Hero Fit?
Both those work. I can do the hashtag Hero Fit, hashtag Geek Fit, hashtag Fandom Fitness, so whatever you want to call it, just take it.
Well, you get to call it.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you like. Again, the second principle for me as a zookeeper is making life for the animals fun and engaging. So engaging them both mentally and physically. And that's how I did my workouts and creating, making fun games. And I am a true geek at heart.
You look like it.
Which house?
I am a Slytherin.
Oh!
I am a Slytherin through
whereas
and through.
Whereas I'm House Atreides.
I am a Slytherin through and through. My very, very, very first fandom was King Arthur. But then I read the Harry Potter series, which is very close, believe it or not, to the King Arthur legend. You have your wise old man, a magic sword or wand, and a trio of, you know, instead of Lancelot, Arthur, and Guinevere, you have Ron, Hermione, and Harry. Yeah. So, again, it follows that whole hero's journey as well. But Harry Potter became very prominent in my life. So, and early on, I discovered I am very much a Slytherin. Doesn't make me evil.
It just makes you great.
It makes me great. It makes me very ambitious.
And you erase your fashion choices by colors.
Yes. Gray and, silver and green go well with everything. So.
Well, there you go.
I found that I would be more excited about fitness if I was like, I'm going on an adventure, quote unquote, with Harry, or I'm going to go explore the galaxy with Doctor Who and so or celebrating May the 4th be with you, doing a Star Wars workout. So it made fitness fun, and
so
that's what it's all about.
Have you played Quidditch?
I have, but not on a broom. I don't do that broom thing that is hitting the circuits now. I do Quidditch without a broom.
But that's a wonderful way to just kind of tie it. I mean, imagine she had, when she was writing her books, did she have any clue?
No.
That not only would the books become successful, but now you have people playing the game that is so out of reality, and yet folks are going to find, that's the thing that fascinates me. You know, she went ahead and she did these things. You're going ahead and you're doing these things. You have no idea where it's going to really go, unless you're clairvoyant.
Yeah, we and same as any writer, we hope that we can change someone's life. We hope that we can touch somebody with our stories or with our message of some sort, with our, you know, with our words, which is exactly what we do. And yeah, we don't know. We put them out. That's the whole idea. We can't change anything unless we put those words out. So
what would you do different? We've talked about, you know, you're doing the various things, and you talked about the thing that's coming up, and you say, you know, the one will influence the other, but specifically change the way you can do social media, the way you write?
I think, you know, just, there's no regrets, but I, you know, there is that, if I could have known what I know each day, what I know then,
yeah,
if I'd just known that, you know, 3 years ago, it just would have, you know, so I could have applied it sooner.
Well, which is one of the reasons for the podcast, is so other folks are kind of going,
sure.
Because so many folks get intimidated by the process, and you're working your way through it.
Yeah, it is a process. It's a part of the journey. Everything that you do, your mistakes that you make, your stumbles that you do. I believe this is, again, an animal training philosophy, and my fitness philosophy is, there are no failures. There's only you win or you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I completely faltered at this presentation and I didn't change anyone's life, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm never doing that again. I'd be like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I change
what
to improve?
Sure.
You know, it would be a win or learn situation.
And one of the things that you talked about in your presentation today, and when I saw you about 2 weeks ago, was that within adjusting your lifestyle for better fitness, for better earth consciousness, it's not about becoming an entirely sustainable, eco-friendly, garbage-free, plastic-free. It's about making what adjustments you can.
Yeah. And that goes for writing. I mean, you know, just doing what you can. If you can only write 100 words a day, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah, really.
if you can write a whole book in a month, and, you know, which many people try and do every November, but if you can do that, fantastic. I mean, I you know, tip my imaginary hat to you as well. It's do nice what hat. You can, yes. I like it.
Stylish.
So before we forget, where can we find you online?
Yeah.
We got the ZooFit part, but like your blog is?
It's zoofit.net. I've kind of tried to keep...
Oh, you managed to get the .net?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you're zoo underscore fit or just ZooFit?
No, it's just zoofit.net is my blog, my website. And, well, right now it's still just a blog. But
and the YouTube channel is?
The YouTube channel is ZooFit. There are two ZooFits on YouTube, though. I am the one with 11 followers now. So the other one has, I think, 200.
So it's going to be confusing when you get those.
Yeah,
like
when
90.
I do get, yeah, 190. When I get close, that's going to get confusing. But
right.
It's pretty obvious. My face is all over all the videos right now, and right now I am also on. You can get any of my books on Amazon. My first two books were published through Book Baby. So
I know Book Baby. They're cool.
I do like them. I like them a lot. They're really good for if you have a lot of pictures in your book.
Oh.
They work really well for that. KDP is okay, but the quality of the photos were not the most incredible for my... So I'm actually thinking about possibly going back to Book Baby for the next one. Maybe trying something new. I'm not sure. But... Yeah, so the first two, the exercise guide and the workout equipment can be found on Book Baby or on Amazon.
And then
you're
at the hardware store and the beach.
Didn't you also do this roadshow kind
of
thing?
Yeah,
which
do.
Is your, I mean, because where have you given the talks at?
What well, states? last year I overwhelmed myself. I went to Portland, Dallas, Indianapolis, Boston, South Carolina.
Colorado?
Oh, that was, we'll bunch it in, yeah. It was close enough. It was within a year, so yeah. And then, yeah, Denver. And California. I overwhelmed myself last year. This year, I'm trying to keep things local. If you want me to come to you and you're too far away, all I ask is that you pay for my travel expenses, and then I'll do whatever talk for free, but I'm doing a talk at zoos now, so talking to the zookeepers. I'm going to libraries all over, and I'm doing cooking classes too.
And then you also said that you have, I believe it's two, essentially comic conventions coming
yes.
up. Between
yeah.
one that's in, and correct me on this as needed, or say shut up and I'll say it for you. One that's on Whidbey Island, I believe this year, the end of April. I believe that's April 26th. And that's in Oak Harbor. And then you were talking earlier about one coming up in February in Linwood.
February 1st is in Linwood. Yeah, it's coming up quickly. And I'm pretty excited about it because it's their second year. It's getting bigger every year. It's a one-day event called Nerd Fair. And that's one word, you know, both nerd and fair are capitalized. Nerd Fair, and I think nerdfair.com is where you can find it. F-A-I-R-E. Find tickets for that. I'm doing two back-to-back presentations, one on fandom fitness that we were talking about, and then another one, again, geeking out about my love, combining my love for Harry Potter and zoo animals, and I call it Fantastic Beasts and How to Save Them. And so we'll have a lot of fun, again, geeking out and being the best versions of ourselves, too.
And finding fun ways to do it.
And finding fun ways to do it.
Well, we are coming to the close of our show, but Tom and I do like to ask our guests two questions. Sometimes we prepare people. Sometimes. And I will ask these questions in backwards order, but you may answer them however you may wish. One of the things that we like to do with Wowie is to record in different places around on Whidbey Island. So our first two recordings, they were on the beach. We got birds, we got waves, we got jet planes, we got everything. We've recorded, next to a turkey farm and a creek. That was kind of nice. We did. We hiked out to that. We have the background sound here today, of course, of being at the Commons in Langley. So the two questions are, where might you suggest that we would go and record, mm-hmm. and what author or authors would you suggest that
or
we get together
publisher
with?
Or editor, or
publisher,
or bookstore,
librarian. Librarian, graphic artist, skywriter, promoter of books, whatever.
That's an interesting. Those are.
So, a person and a place.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like saying it into the microphone, you can tell us afterwards.
No. Being outside is my. Is my natural state of being, I guess. I love being, so I would probably think either the Putney Woods area would be a great place because you could walk and talk.
Sure.
Well, I don't know how you could do it.
Actually, with my portable gear, that would be a maybe.
There's also, again, libraries in general. The Freeland Library has that meeting room. You could.
It's a nice room.
They're Snow Owls Library, guys. Snow Owls Library. free rental for their meeting rooms too. Oh. So.
You don't think the ammunition bunkers at Fort Casey would work well?
Could be a little echoey in the recording.
Yeah, maybe.
But you work there, so you're familiar.
Yeah.
Out of the rain.
Screaming.
Out of the rain.
You could do it on the ferry.
Well, we don't actually need light to record.
No, we don't.
So we could be in the bunker.
We really could. That might be a good one for Eldrick.
Except for the people that are claustrophobic.
Yeah. As far as who, people that have helped me out quite a bit that I think would definitely be into it too. Lori Kane.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, see, Tom knows all these people.
Yeah.
I know like 9 people, including Tom and you.
I don't know if you know Margaret Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's my memoir mentor, and I see her once a month with a group, like Barbara from the library. She's in that group. I think Margaret would be a great resource, too. She has at least a book out.
Well, we definitely have a luxury surplus.
Yes,
of
you
people
do.
Who got from on the island.
Yep.
So, but that's why we're putting together a list to find out, you know, which names resonate with folks.
Right.
So, thank you for that, and thanks for telling us, you know, how it's been going and where it's going to go. And we look forward to listening to this 5 years from now. We can kind of go, well, turned out differently.
We knew her when.
Yeah, it's quite so.
Hopefully
quite
that's
so.
How it turns out. We knew her when, and we wish she would return our phone calls now. Because that implies some fame. So anyway, let's go ahead and wrap this up. This has been Writing on Whidbey Island, and we have been visiting with PJ Bevins.
Patty.
Also... How many edits do I have to do?
You don't have to do any. You leave it all in.
She's also mistakenly known as her fraternal twin brother as JP. And, of course, with me here also has been Tom Trimbeth, who gets confused as being Tim. And I am Don Scobie, who gets confused as being Dan. Anyway, thank you for listening in. We will get all of these links onto the posting onto the blog following the podcast upload. And... join us next time. Thanks.
Such a deal.